Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Sean Severson, CEO and co-founder of Water Tower Research, and welcome today to Eric Frey joining us for our Sustainable Investing Podcast. Eric is with Gevo, that's ticker GEVO. He is VP of Finance and Strategy, and we're going to be talking about the GREET model today. And for those of you who don't know, we're going to give a quick tutorial about that, or I should say Eric will be. We'll be going through how that impacts Gevo, what some of the things that everybody's looking for here. So it should have a great conversation today. And again, thank you for joining us, all the subscribers. And Eric, I'll turn it over to you to give a quick background of yourself and then maybe go into a little bit about Gevo for investors who aren't familiar with the company.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Sean. Thanks for setting this up. Quick background on myself. I got my graduate degree in physics a long time ago in biophysics, and that ended up being relevant to being at Gevo because biotechnology is a part of what Gevo does. Then I spent a number of years at one of the large banks as an investment banker doing M&A and capital markets for energy and clean energy companies. Including the biofuel sector, the renewable natural gas sector. And I've been at Gevo since the middle of 2022, where, as you said, I do finance, so corporate finance and strategy generally. I'm also in charge of our investor relations function here at Gevo. So nice to be with you.
Great, thanks, Eric. Let's talk just a brief bit about what Gevo is, what you do, the business of Gevo to start with, and then we'll dig into a little more details.
Sure. So Gevo's a company that's an innovator and developer of existing technologies that need to be commercialized to make low carbon drop-in products for existing hard to abate industries. Okay, and that's a mouthful, I get it, but here's a specific example. A number of years ago, Gevo flew one of the first flights using what's called the alcohol-to-jet process. It's a way of making sustainable aviation fuel, a low carbon jet fuel, essentially, for a military jet. And planes and airports have actually used Gevo's sustainable aviation fuel around the world, globally. So Gevo is a company that has a lot of experience in fuels and chemicals. And the main, our flagship product that's in front of us, although there's a number of business activities around it, is what we call our Net Zero One project. That's a greenfield ethanol to jet fuel project. The location's in South Dakota. And the purpose of that is to make molecules, the same molecules that can fly in jet engines today. You don't have to change, electrify jet aircraft. That's very difficult to do. But to make those molecules from something other than fossil fuels, because there's now value to carbon abatement. So without changing the whole industry, can you just change the fuel, the process the fuel is made, I should say, to a lower carbon pathway? And there's actually ways to do that. You can produce ethanol, which ultimately is lower carbon footprint than crude oil, fossil crude oil from the ground. And you can build an electrified plant that uses wind in places like South Dakota, where there's a lot of wind. There's not many wind farms today because there's not demand for it. But if you build an electrified plant, you can harness the wind and make it into an energy-dense liquid fuel. That's the same fuels that engines use, that jet aircraft use today. And effectively, that aircraft is being powered by the wind in kind of an indirect way. So it gets a lot of carbon abatement. We think that the Net Zero One project can produce enough sustainable aviation fuel to effectively eliminate the carbon emissions of about 3,000 flights from between New York City and London each year once it's operating. So that's really exciting. We have customers that want to buy the fuel. We have government regulations that will incentivize the build out of the industry. And we have corporate commitments that want to get to net zero. And we have all the tools, we think the technologies and the process elements at our disposal. It just has to be put together in the right way, right? You need things like wind, you need things like an electrified plant, and you need things like rail, to export the product, that kind of thing. So we think all the ingredients are there, and that's what we do as a company.
And to clarify for investors new to the story, the drop-in fuels is critical because you can use existing infrastructure. The takeaway is you don't need to change the engine technology, right, to reduce the carbon footprint, and especially in aviation, that's the number one carbon emitter, right? I mean, you see on planes, oh, we recycle our cans and things like that they talk about, but we all know that the big footprint is the fuel itself, correct?
Yeah, the airlines I think are doing a great job in trying to get more and more sustainable so that they maintain their social license to operate. That's very important to them. They're taking it really seriously. We want to help them to do that. There's value in making a low carbon drop-in product, to your point, that doesn't require the electrification of aircraft. The key thing to flight is you need things that pack a lot of punch and are very lightweight. Well, batteries, unfortunately, are very heavy. So it's very difficult to make an electric powered airplane. So if the aviation industry wants to decarbonize, they really need sustainable aviation fuel. And they've said this openly. They've made it, it's widely acknowledged in the industry that this is a necessary component. So we're trying to deliver a product that is the same as what the customer uses, but critically in short supply, and they've said is necessary. In other words, it just has a different history behind it of how it was produced.
So let's go to the GREET model. First of all, maybe a description of that. Let's start with that because not everybody's going to be familiar with what that is. And then let's talk a little bit about why it's important for Gevo, and then we'll give an update on where that stands.
Yeah, so if you want to, if you want to make a low carbon drop-in product, it's a little bit tricky because, and what I mean by that is the whole value of a commodity market is you get the same thing no matter what. So like if you go to your gas station on the corner, whatever corner you go to, you feel like you're getting the same gasoline and it's not gonna, disrupt your engine. But if you want to decarbonize things, well, now you do want the same molecule, but some molecules have a different history. They have a different carbon footprint in how they were made. And now that has value in addition to and separate from the molecule. So just like if you go to a gasoline station or if an airline, wants jet fuel, that fuel has to be to spec. In other words, it has to have all the, chemical ingredients in it that make it to the right spec. Now you need something that's to carbon spec. Well, what is the carbon footprint and how do you know? Well, everyone has to agree on, people can generally agree that if you have a wind-powered plant, it's lower carbon, right? We all generally know that that's going to be true. But how do you quantify that exactly? The industry and the government all have to kind of agree on a precise model to do those calculations, okay? And that's important. It's non-trivial. We all know directionally you can get lower carbon, but like, what is that number exactly? If we're going to borrow money to finance our plant, that lender has to know. If we're going to deliver a product to a customer, that customer wants to know. If the U.S. Department of Treasury, I shouldn't say if they have a tax credit as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. It's $1.75 a gallon. That's very meaningful. That $1.75 will you'll get up to $1.75 depending on your carbon intensity of your fuel. Well, we need to know not just about how that's calculated, but exactly how that's calculated, and that's where the GREET model comes in. So the GREET model is a very widely used and accepted way of getting those precise calculations of carbon intensity. It came from the U.S. Department of Energy, the Argonne National Lab, and it's already widely in use today on a number of fronts. The specific thing that we're interested in is, well, we're really interested in two things. One is Gevo has a belief that that's a good scientific, precise model to calculate carbon abatement. We want to take into account everything. So if we use biogas, we want to take that into account. If we use carbon capture, we want to take it into account. If we use wind electricity versus fossil grid energy, it should be taken into account. We want to be open and honest and transparent about what we're doing. And everything Gevo's been doing has been sort of anticipating that the world will move in that direction. Fast or slow, we think that the world is ultimately going to want to count all the carbon once and only once. Is what we believe basically. And the GREET model does that. So getting into more specifics, what's kind of like, why do we harp on that right now? Well, it's for that reason generally, but there's also an important, it's not the only, but it is one important tax credit that we're looking at. And this one comes from the Inflation Reduction Act. It's called the SAF 45Z tax credit. And this one is, like I said, up to $1.75 per gallon of SAF, depending on your exact carbon intensity. if you get to zero, basically net carbon intensity, you get the full $1.75. We're targeting zero, zero or maybe slightly negative, depending on a couple of factors from our plant. So we want to get the full $1.75 and create full value for our customers. That model, the government has said, they haven't yet said how it will be calculated, but they said it'll be weeks, not months, until we hear. They've said it will include all the elements that we've been advocating for. So, animal feed, biogas, climate smart agriculture is another big one. We located our plant in South Dakota because most of the farms there already use better than national average farming practices. If you have a better yield on your field, or you use less fertilizer or less herbicide, not only is that better for the environment and more sustainable, but it has a lower carbon footprint. Well, we think that everybody should be incentivized, in a sort of continuous cycle of improvement to optimize not only the amount of food they produce, but also, their carbon footprint and ultimately the value of our product. So we're really excited to see that come out. Like I said, our understanding is it'll be weeks, not months. We don't know precisely, when it'll come out. It could be next Friday. It could be the week after, but we're excited, and we think that will validate a lot of the things Gevo has been doing for years in anticipation that ultimately the world will want to do that. The world will want to count all the carbon once and only once.
And so effectively, going back to an accounting process for carbon, right? So, I mean, people are very familiar with the idea of, how much does it cost to buy this or to manufacture this? But this is effectively a way of validating the carbon inputs or reductions, I guess, depending on how you're looking at it, in the entire supply chain. So I think when we look at products and we look at the end products, it's trying to get a measure of everything that went into that process, right? From the corn or the source through how it was processed, what was the heat and energy generation source? Was it RNG, wind for electric? And so this all goes into the measure of a gallon of ethanol, right? Which then goes into a gallon of SAF. Is that how to think about this as accounting, a verified accounting for carbon?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up. So as in the world of carbon abatement, this is a new industry, and it's really a new way of thinking about things. Think about, like, if you think about organic food, or like sustainably harvested wood, if you get it from the hardware store or something, consumers and businesses and the government, if you're a government and you reward these kind of things, you want to see a sticker, right, that you can believe in is substantiated by something like that lumber was sustainably harvested, or that vegetable or meat product was organically grown. And what does that mean? What are all the criteria that make it satisfy that? Here, we have to do the same thing. If we're going to deliver jet fuel and say, yeah, but this jet fuel is a, can abate your emissions relative to fossil jet fuel because of the history of how it was made, we need receipts. We need to say, all the way to the field, that farmer, there are some farms, some fields that are really good at using much less herbicide and insecticide and fertilizer, using low-till or no-till farming practices, which keep more of the CO2 in the soil, through the plant. Did the plant actually use wind? The wind doesn't always blow. There may be times when the plant used more grid electricity or more wind electricity because wind is intermittent, right? You need to track all that in a system that's more robust than just Excel spreadsheets. You could, in principle, do all this with Excel spreadsheets, but people would probably make errors and it would be complicated. You need an accounting system that goes all the way through and tracks that and gives that end customer, or the government, if it's a tax credit, an audit trail, something that is auditable, with data that says, for this batch, we use these inputs, and this is the carbon intensity according to this method, this argon green method that we talked about. And that's where Gevo's other activity comes in, which is called Verity Carbon Solutions. Verity Carbon Solutions is our wholly owned, basically carbon counting tech startup that we started about 3 years ago, measuring all the way at the field level what those bushels of corn are doing through a plant and to the end customer. We started to do that for our own Net Zero One plant, because we think it's required and also value added. But it now has other customers. There are US ethanol plants that say, hey, we want the same audit trail for our low carbon product, because we those ethanol plants, they might also be getting climate smart corn that's better than the average, and they want to prove that to the government or to their customers.
And I think some of this goes back to the concept that carbon has value, right? So if you're going to have value, or you're going to have assets or liabilities effectively on your balance sheet as a company related to carbon, there has to be an audit trail, just like there would be for any other asset or liability, right? So this makes it an audit trail, makes it validated from an accounting perspective, is maybe a concept for investors to think of. If carbon has value, it has to be accounted for correctly,
Yeah,
both the
absolutely. And it does two things that are super interesting. You know, if you think about like the traditional, I think the conventional or the historical paradigm when it comes to clean energy is it can either be dirty and cheap energy, or it can be clean and expensive energy. And society's just gonna have to choose between those two things, and it's a dilemma. And unfortunately, you know, it'll never be perfect. But you know, it's possible to break out of that false dilemma, actually, through continuous improvement. Sometimes there's low-hanging fruit that is not expensive, but no one has bothered to do it because there was no incentive for it and there was no awareness of it, if that makes sense. And if you invest in things, they tend to get cheaper. So, for example, anyone could have built a wind farm in South Dakota with an electrified ethanol and ethanol to jet plant. That could have been built at any time. It's not a new technology. We're not trying to invent new technologies. What we're trying to do is create a continuous system of improvement on top of the initial value. So when you say the customer wants an audit trail, that's true. And that's one piece of value at one point in time. But what our customers really like is you now create a positive feedback loop where, you know, some farmers who maybe have not yet adopted low-till or no-till methods, they may now be incentivized to adopt that because they may see a neighbor or their own field, right? They may have some fields where that bushel of corn was worth more because they use fewer inputs and they adopted the best climate smart ag practices. So you may accelerate adoption of something. And when things are widely adopted, they become more abundant. When things are more abundant, they get cheaper. So it is possible for things to be a win-win, right? One of the reasons gas is so cheap is because billions of dollars in capital have been spent every year for over a century. And, you know, if you drill one incremental oil well, there's a gas station on every corner in America, right? Right now, there's no wind farms in South Dakota. But if you build the first electrified plant that can sustainably, you know, profitably operate a business there with that wind farm, well, incremental wind power in a part of the country that has lots of wind now may not be so expensive, right? It's cheaper to build that marginal additional power. Customers like that too. And the audit trail and the business system that Gevo's trying to set up, they like that this isn't just a one and done. You're creating a continuous cycle of future improvement that will lead to a more cost-effective as well as clean energy transition.
Now, going back to Verity for a moment, you actually have Verity deployed in some fields, right? So maybe I think this is worthy of an entire additional conversation to talk about Verity. But going back to the accounting of carbon, you have Verity deployed currently, correct? I mean, you're getting data from that. So what, maybe give a second on that. So, because it's a really interesting topic, it ties to GREET and overall carbon scores and accounting.
So it's super interesting. For those who aren't familiar, there's really been like a digital data revolution in agriculture over the last 20 years. You know, as cameras became cheap, artificial intelligence became cheap, and big data became cheap. There are lots of sensors on farms that collect lots of data. And in some cases, they even have cameras where, you know, it says, okay, that's a weed, spray herbicide, and then it stops. And then it says, okay, that's another weed, spray it, and then it stops, instead of just broadcast spraying. So these are like incremental improvements that have already been happening in agriculture. And it turns out that a lot of those improvements go hand in hand with reducing carbon footprint. If you use fewer chemicals as an input, and you produce more corn per acre, not only is that better just as a business and better for agriculture, it's also a lower carbon footprint. So now that the world is really starting to care about carbon footprint, that data is there. And so what we did about 3 years ago was we started collecting data from farmers in our grower program. We have about, I think, over 60,000 acres. We're really happy that we've had 100% retention among our farmers in our farmer program. They've allowed data, Gevo to come and look at their data. And that takes a lot of trust and a partnership with our farmers. And we've gone in and said, okay, is the data complete to count carbon? And then how do you use it to calculate carbon footprint, starting at that field all the way through wherever that corn ends up, like an ethanol planter and so on. So that's been operating for 3 years. The tool went live third quarter last year. We have about 2% of the US ethanol industry by volume is contracted with Verity to count their carbon. And we're looking to post first revenue from Verity this year. So we think that's very meaningful for us as a company, in addition to and independent of Net Zero One.
So let's go back to what the timeline for GREET has been. I know there have been some expectations in the market. We were going to have it a couple of weeks ago, and people were looking for it. So just a history of what you were expecting, what the industry was expecting from GREET, and the timing on it, and then where things stand, and why this is an important milestone for Gevo.
Yeah, absolutely. So in December, we're eagerly anticipating this because the tax credit goes into effect that we're talking about would go into effect on January 1st, 2025. And so in December, the administration and several industries agencies, I should say, together said they gave guidance that they were going to use the GREET model for that SAF tax credit. That was very encouraging for Gevo. And that it would include all the tools that we're advocating for, like climate smart agriculture, would be included in the calculation. It wouldn't just be omitted from the tax credit. We're very excited about that too. On March 1st, a couple Fridays ago, it was announced that they were a little bit delayed. They were very close, but basically they said it would be weeks, not months, until we released that model. So we're fingers crossed. We're encouraged that the model will include all the things that we think are just sensible, and that will create that system of continuous improvement that Gevo has been anticipating. But we don't have it yet. We're looking to have it soon to see the precision, and that'll be a really helpful for us to get things like our lending process completed for Net Zero One. If someone's going to lend us something like $1 billion. Even if it's the U.S. Department of Energy loan program, we can't just say we think we know what a tax credit is. We have to actually know it. So that's not stopping us. We're still moving things forward, but it's a critical piece, and we're excited to see it.
So great. Thank you, Eric. This has been very helpful. Love to have you back when we get some more clarification on GREET and also talk about Verity. I think it's a super exciting opportunity. I'd like to thank all of our listeners today for joining us. And again, my name is Shawn Severson, CEO and Head of Sustainable Investing Research at Water Tower Research. And you've been listening to the WTR Sustainable Investing Podcast. And with that, Eric, I'll turn it over to you for final remarks and we'll wrap it up for today.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. I just wanted to say I'm looking forward to doing some more of these podcasts with you. We're pretty excited about the future here at Gevo. I really enjoy it. I'm kind of a we're a mission-driven company, a bunch of people who believe in carbon abatement and who believe in doing it cost-effectively to both feed and fuel the world that we live in. So it's an exciting place to work, and I really appreciate you doing this podcast. I'm looking forward to doing more.
Great. Thanks, Eric. Everybody, have a good day.
Thanks, Sean.